Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week. This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Another mass shooting in America, something that, of course, we've all become very accustomed to, sadly. And I guess the shock of it not always what it once was. What's most frustrating to me on this latest one out of Maine is that there were so many warning signs. And I guess we see them quite often, but a man who was literally put into a mental health facility for 2 weeks over the summer, had complained of hearing voices, made terroristic threats to a National Guard base of blowing it up. And yet he got out and he got his guns and he went around town. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Jennifer, where do we even begin on this one?
Hi, Tony. Well, this one is so disconcerting. Certainly, there were signs. You know, the FBI has a special name for those, right? They call them pre-attack indicators, things that family and friends can look for. And you just reeled off about four of them, followed by, you know, purchasing firearms or attempting to get to their firearms, and then displaying other acts of aggression using alcohol or drugs. Anyway, you combine that all together, and we don't know if he did the other portions, but certainly those indicators were there, and he went off the rails. And this is a guy who's tactically trained. He walked into there. I mean, on that film, Tony, he's at the low ready. He's holding his gun perfectly. His stride looks exactly, we call it the Groucho walk. I looked at this guy, and I'm like, oh my gosh, is this military or former SWAT?
He knew what he was doing. He walked in there and I'm assuming accomplished his disgusting goal. When you have something like this, I mean, now we're going to enter the phase here of, oh, what do we do to stop this? And everybody's going to say something and this or that. And I'm so sick of the see something, say something, obviously, in an active investigation in something like this. You need that. But at the same point, people have been seeing something and saying something so much to the point where, yes, he was institutionalized for 2 weeks. And then got back, got his guns, and was able to do all of this. Are we missing the oversight part in this, where once you're released from the facility after you made horrible threats, that maybe someone should go make sure you don't have weapons on you?
Well, I think legally there's a lot of issues. First of all, was he a voluntary commit? That's probably most likely the case, that he was talked into being committed, and he was committed, and then he, you know, was let out once he was either medicated or, you know, staff said he was okay. So there's a lot of issues then with going in and taking someone's guns legally, unless they get a judge and get a court order that says he should not be able to have them. I looked up Maine's laws, mm-hmm. and they're actually pretty strong.
Really?
You know, yeah, they're middle of the road. They're certainly, it's not like we're talking about Arizona or Utah or Kansas here. These are pretty, or Texas or Florida, I'll add those two in also. These are pretty fairly strict laws, but it doesn't mean you can go in and just take somebody's gun because they have a stint at a mental institution. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be that way, Tony. I'm just saying it's not that way virtually anywhere.
So it's not that, and I guess it might be something a lot of us just assume because it feels like common sense, but so many things are not common sense. If you have someone who's made threats like this to, it was a National Guard base, threatening to shoot it up specifically, and he is very well versed in weapons. It's part of his job. Why wouldn't there be a step in to legally take those weapons away after you've made a threat like that? Is that not grounds to be able to do such a thing? Or does the law still protect someone, even if they make horrible threats like this, maybe never carry them out till later? But I would see that to be the window for someone to step in and say, look, you make threats like this, you don't get guns anymore.
Well, there certainly are states that have yellow flag and red flag laws, they call them, that do bring attention to mental health issues and being able to take somebody's weapons. But there are steps, judicial steps, that have to be taken. And those weren't taken here. Mm-hmm. Who would take them? In other words, I was thinking to myself, is that the family that's going to reach out and try to get that order? Would that have been the military, you know, National Guard, where apparently now I'm hearing mixed reports, but everything I'd read, Tony said he's a firearms instructor mm-hmm. at the National Guard. I mean, they're entrusting him with firearms every day and their arsenal.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it looks good on paper as a law of an. There probably were specific steps that maybe if somebody said something and say something and do something, say something, see something, say something, do something is different. It's like nobody did anything when they realized that this man was a threat and wasn't quite right. And if it's just sits there of like, well, here's the path. If no one takes the path to stop someone like this, then what good is it? If there isn't something else that can go in and, you know, really make sure that this can't happen, that he can't have access to these sort of things. It'd be the same. I guess it's just as broken down as our child welfare system, if you will. There's plenty of reports or blatant, obvious issues with many homes. And it's just, well, we'll get to it when we can. We're very short-staffed. And maybe that's part of this here, too. Who does these things? Who enforces the laws that we actually do have on some of these things to prevent this?
You're right, Tony, and I think we're going to see some changes. I really do. It's just getting to be every. In fact, I was just researching more on this particular case before we got on the line here together, and I saw there was another shooting possibly in Washington, D.C., and they had three schools on lockdown. Now, Tony, I haven't, you know, further looked into that mm-hmm. literally than you and I got online with each other, but I thought, oh my gosh, it's getting to where every week, sometimes every day, in certain stints, there's a lockdown, there's a threat of a shooting, there is a shooting. It's gotten out of control.
Without a doubt. I'm just trying to take a look here at like numbers right now for the amount of mass shootings this year. From what I'm understanding, The Independent reported this main one marks America's 565th of the year, so more than one a day now. And if you're right, maybe we're already on to 66 or 67. And I'm sure we probably are, considering how fast that these numbers rise up. And yet, we still have no answers on what to do to stop these people. I don't know. I don't profess to have them either, but it just seems like this one really, it kind of takes the cake of here's all the examples, here's your warning signs. Why did we not do anything?
I think it comes down to really family, friends, and associates. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to be the ones that step up because they're the only ones with the inside microscope on what's going on with the individuals they're around every day. Yeah. They see it. They hear it. They, you know what, and they probably have those concerns. And yet, I'm not trying to, you know, blame these families necessarily, but I think that's what's going to take. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a nutshell, Tony, it's going to have to take these individuals stepping up and taking stronger action and laws being in their favor where something can be done. But, you know, Tony, our gun laws are so loose mm-hmm. that it would be easy for him to just get another gun, even if they took the guns he had. So,
And I agree with you. And I'm not, I mean, it's not the gun's fault here by any means. I'm not going down that road. And I agree. If he wanted to, he would. But speed bumps is kind of what I look at it as. If you put more speed bumps in place for people who are not mentally well, may potentially have a penchant to do something like this, if you have a few more speed bumps, maybe that will slow them down. Maybe they'll even stop them if you put enough in place and really make it difficult to go there. But if that's really what you want, you'll get there in some way, shape, or form. I don't know, like, why can't we just put a few more speed bumps in line to slow sort some of this down. I would imagine maybe we'll get down to maybe one a day as opposed to 560 some that we're at. We're not even at the end of the year yet.
Well, and Tony, I did want to mention something about a speed bump, as you say. When there was a threat made toward that National Guard facility where he worked, that to me could have been a possible charge, especially if anything was sent over the wire, was, in other words, cellular, if there were any conversations, if there were any threats other than in person, and even if they would have been in person. That to me would have been a true sticking point of a possible charge. And then at least you get the ball rolling and make him held accountable for making these threats.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.